In Matthew 1:16, we are introduced in the New Testament to Joseph, the husband of Mary. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Jesus is the old, precious Old Testament name Joshua, Yahshua, Yah, Jehovah, Shua is salvation, or saves. And Christ is not so much a name as it is a title, though names and titles kind of go hand in hand. Many of you call me by pastor, which is technically a title, but then so is daddy. felt like a name with my children. Christ means the anointed one. And this is the word Messiah in the Greek. The Hebrew is Messiah, the English word for the Hebrew word is Messiah. The English word for the Greek word is Christ. So he fulfilled the promised Messiah. I began thinking about Joseph, what we know about him. I realized that we don't have a record of things that he said, but we have a number of decisions. Looking through, I've found 8 decisions that I'd like to share with you. Don't worry, it'll only be 10, 20 minutes for each decision. The decisions that he made, I call him a man of decision, because that's what we see him doing. And these were important decisions. These are decisions that show character. Character has fallen out of favor today, you know. Politicians, they do bad things, and their supporters say, what does that matter as long as they do the right job, you know? When this country began, it was not a democracy, which is another word for mob rule. It was a republic. A republic says, look, we understand we don't have the background, the knowledge, the time to sit down and read all those bills that are trying to be law, but we want to have a representative in the government that we trust to make good decisions. So it was all about character at that point. You didn't want a greedy person. You didn't want a lustful person. You didn't want a deviant running in politics, because you needed to count on them for you and your family's sake, for you and your business sake, to be able to read through these bills and say that's not right or that is right. Character has fallen out of favor today. In fact, those who proclaim their lack of character in some way are called brave, coming out of some sort of a closet thing. Joseph, however, was a man of character, a man of decision. Let me share with you the 8 decisions that I found in his life. The first decision, I guess this is chronologically, the first decision was the decision of love. We find that he decided to betroth Mary. I might have invented that word. I put an E on the end of it. The only one I could find was betroth. But, you know, breath is one thing. Breathe has an E on the end. So I put it betroth. I don't know if that's really a word. I declare it to be a word. isn't that all it takes? Somebody saying it enough? Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together physically, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Espoused refers to the betrothal custom of the Jews. Their marriage situation is different from any that I've ever heard of. It was a 2-step process. So the young man would want to marry a certain girl. He would then come and speak to her father, or the person who was the head of that family or tribe, or the one leading the family that spoke for the girl. And they would talk it over and so on. Well, the betrothal then happened. And with that betrothal, they were legally husband and wife. However, they did not at that time start living together. In fact, he left and she stayed. And so they were physically separated. He went back to his parents' house, whatever, and he began to prepare the house for his wife. Now, in some times of the culture, that meant having a room addition sewed onto the tent, you understand. But sometimes it was the building of a house or whatever, or finding a house, buying a house. The idea of him being prepared, standing before the father of the bride saying, I can take care of your daughter. This is my business. I've taken care of my flocks. I'm a responsible person. I can take care of her. That was all done in the betrothal thing. So they were legally husband and wife, but they did not come together for usually about a year. And one of the reasons has commonly been said is that this showed that this was not an immoral thing, that they had to get married. It was a spiritual choice. It was then that he would come and take her to where they would live. They would have the marriage supper. And that was the celebration that the time had come for them to be together. The house was ready. She had sewed her garments and whatever for her, what do they call that chest? Hope chest thing. So she had that all ready, and her maidens were with her, and his men were with him, and it was a celebration time, and they had a great supper. And then they would physically come together, consummating the marriage. So a spouse referred to this betrothal custom of the Jews. So this is what happened here with Joseph and Mary. They were legally husband and wife, though they had not come together. I found it interesting that, anticipating the fact that she's going to be found with child, he's going to think, since he knew it wasn't him, that this was immorality on her part, that he would divorce her. Then God sent an angel to explain this to him. Somebody asked, why didn't she tell him? What would you say? You know, I know this looks bad, but really, the Holy Spirit did it. You know, it just wouldn't be a believable argument, even though it was true. And so God sends an angel to tell him. He stayed betrothed, but not physically coming together, until after the birth of Jesus. The marriage was not consummated until after the birth of Jesus. Matthew 1:25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word to know by experience. So he did not experience her to know her as husband and wife. Luke 2:4-5, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed, the King James margin says, or enrolled, for it was a census, with Mary, his espoused wife. As they traveled to Bethlehem, she was great with child, but they were still at the betrothal level, not to have the consummation of the marriage until later. I was asking myself, what do we know about this choice of Mary to be his wife? To ask her to marry him, to raise his children. Was this a spiritual choice? Well, it dawned on me that Joseph you know, he didn't have the choice of anybody in the world, of course, but within that realm of his understanding, he chose for a personal relationship a woman to raise his children, the same woman that God chose for that personal relationship to raise his son. I thought that had to be a spiritual decision, that he was so much like God that he chose that woman. It's remarkable to me to realize all that God did. The genealogy that we read of Joseph put him in the kingly line. Adopting Jesus allowed Jesus to be in the kingly line, but not in the genealogical line of the kings, which had been cursed. Luke's genealogy, starting in Luke 3:23, traces back from Mary back to David, and then on back to Adam, actually. But so he was literally the son of David through Mary, and then he was in the kingly line by his relationship to Joseph. So these people were chosen of God to raise his child. So the first decision he made was not, as she cuts quite a figure in that toga or robe or whatever, you know. His first decision was the one of love for Mary, and it was based on spiritual things. At least it all seems to be so. The decision of love. The second decision I've noticed was the decision of loving righteousness. We sometimes divide those up. If you're loving, you don't care about righteousness. If you're righteous, you're stern and mean-faced. Somebody was saying he liked a picture of, you know, a drawing of Jesus where he was smiling. And he said he must have been a person who smiled, because he said, "Let the children come to me." You imagine the children going, "Oh, I don't want to." That frowning man there, a judgmental look on his face. He was welcoming. And undoubtedly smiling. Loving righteousness. You see, this decision is shown that he decided to divorce Mary privately. As I said, the betrothal made them legally husband and wife. So before they came together, she was found with child. And so he, being a righteous man, decided to divorce her. Matthew 1:19. Then Joseph, her husband, already, being a just man, righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Put her away is the word for divorce. The fact that he had to divorce her was because he was a righteous man and would not condone what she seemed to have done. However, the fact that he didn't want to make her a public example but wanted to do this privately shows the loving aspect that he had for her, the caring for her. So this divorce procedure was not the action of an angry man offended by her supposed infidelity. It says he was not willing to make her a public example. Evidently that was possible even in that day. Probably not often done, but possible. Technically, she could have been set up to be stoned and some other things. But he intended to do the action privately. Righteousness demanded he not continue to pursue her as his wife, but love determined to do the work as gently as possible. I've often quoted Spurgeon, who said on this passage, when you have to do something, when you must do something for righteousness' sake that's unpleasant, try to do it as gently as possible, because sometimes you won't have to do it at all, as was the case with Joseph. The third decision is the decision of commitment, and I want you to pour into that word commitment everything you can imagine, because he decided, even after she was found with child, to take Mary as his wife. Look at Matthew 1:20-24. But while he, Joseph, thinking of divorce, While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived, the King James margin says, the Greek here is begotten, which is begotten in her, is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. We mentioned that Jesus is Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. King James margin here says that comes from the Hebrew and is the word for Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. That's why he was to be called Jesus. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, or his name shall be called, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. A just man finds that his betrothed wife is pregnant. Now, be the villagers for a moment. Be shocked at what Mary seems to have done. Feel sorry for Joseph. And then see Joseph just take her. Take her into his home. Do you see what you would think of Mary and Joseph? He's probably admitting it was his. When I say this was a decision of commitment, this was him forsaking human reputation, which he had held pretty dear, being a just man. He was committing himself to God, he was committing himself to Mary, and he was committing himself to the Christ child. God's angel revealed that God envisioned Joseph as the adopted father. He says, fear not to take her. And then he says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. You singular. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And so he took her to himself as if they were husband and wife, although, as we read earlier, he did not physically know her. With this commitment, Joseph forsook public opinion for the purpose of protecting and providing for Mary and the Holy Child. That he kept this commitment is seen in the world's perception of his relation to Jesus. Here are some verses that show what the world saw. Luke 3:23, Jesus himself began to be about 38 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Luke 4:22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth and said, is not this Joseph's son? He was known as Joseph's son. John 1:45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And John 6:42, they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? Whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Heaven? Oh, we saw the hut you grew up in, you know. So in each of these cases, he was known by people who knew him as the son of Joseph. And so that commitment was borne out. Not just, I'll do it, and then kind of kept Jesus and Mary at arm's length. No, he embraced them, and Jesus grew up being known as his son. A fourth decision is this, the decision of submission. The time came before Jesus was born when there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. They never get tired of that, do they? He decided to obey the government command to travel to Bethlehem from Galilee in the north through Samaria, clear down to Jerusalem, vicinity of Jerusalem, to Bethlehem. This not for a holy reason, but for taxation, to be counted in the census so they could be accurately taxed. And his wife, great with child, and this child is going to be the Messiah. What will you do? Will you grumble about the government? Well, probably. But Luke 2:4, Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. We see here he submitted to the government regulation because he submitted to God. Notice with me four thoughts. He reasoned, one, I will give loving obedience to God. Two, God controls the entire world. He had read Daniel. He knew that God set up leaders and brought them down. This man would not be there telling us to go to Bethlehem. Perhaps he was familiar with the Micah passage that says Christ's child was to be born in Bethlehem. Perhaps he had wondered about that, wondered what was going to happen, see. And now he realizes even the secular leader bows to God. Third, he cares for his own son. He knew that God cared for his own son even more than I do. So this is not going to be harmful to the child or to Mary. And four, he determined then that we will do what we can and trust God for the rest. That's where we ought to be, isn't it? This is what we need to say. We need to come to the conclusion that God says certain things, so we're going to act on that. We'll do what we can. We can't reason out everything. We don't know the future. So we'll just trust God to do it. A fifth decision was the decision of protection. Protection. He decided to heed God's warning, even though it meant leaving the country. That would be us fleeing to Mexico, Central America, someplace. Matthew 2:13-14. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. The flight by night into Egypt, not an easy journey, and especially with a young child. So love chooses the benefit of the loved one over personal inconvenience. They had, by the way, just been given gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, which would sort of pay for the trip and perhaps set him up for a while as the new carpenter in a city in Egypt. But God had prepared for it. But his decision was one of protection. There's only one reason to leave for Egypt and all that inconvenience. And that was because the life of the child, the young child, is at stake. The sixth decision I saw was the decision to nurture, to be able to raise him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He decided to return from Egypt to Nazareth in Israel. Returning from Egypt to Israel, and then what city? Go back to Bethlehem from which they left, or go back to the Mary and Joseph's hometown of Nazareth? Matthew 2:19-23 explains the process. But when Herod was dead, the one who was seeking the life of the child, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. So the command was, get back to Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. A little indecision here, evidently committed it to God in prayer, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. We find in this passage that he is now simply obedient. He said, go to Egypt until I give you word. Now he is given word, and so he returns to Israel. But where they left would be there in Bethlehem, very close to Jerusalem, and the scene of where the children were murdered. We find that he decides that this is too dangerous. We find that Herod's son Archelaus was a vicious person, no less than his father. Various things history tells us that he did. Joseph decided to put Mary and Joseph in a secure place where he and Mary had grown up, where he had a network of friends and business. He would be welcomed back. Oh, the carpenter that does a specially good job. I still have that chair you made us, you know. Now he's back where a secure place and a little town. Not often in the newspaper headlines. So he makes a decision to nurture, to be able to be the family that God wanted, rearing Jesus in that nurture of the Word of God and in a place of safety. The seventh decision I saw was the decision of responsibility. If you're the father of the Messiah, who was born by the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit himself, how do you raise this child? What do you do? What do you decide you can contribute? Well, he decided to train Jesus in his craft as carpenter. We see this from two verses. Matthew 13:55, they hear Jesus preaching, and they ask, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? So Joseph was known as the carpenter, and Jesus known as the carpenter's son. But then, in the same basic context, Mark 6:3, they're talking about him, and they ask, is this not the carpenter? Jesus was known as the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James and Joseph, Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? Interesting to me that after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph did come together physically, and they had at least six children, four boys named for us in these verses, and at least two sisters, because the word is plural. So they had a large family. The Jews rightfully felt that a boy left untrained in business was trained in ungodliness, the whole idle hands thing. If I can't walk into a city and do something to make a living, then what will I do? I will steal, I will connive, I will do something like that. So he taught his son, the human creature teaching God, carpentry. All the lessons I purchased from Bob Jones University Art Gallery, a reproduction of a picture of a little Jesus in the carpenter shop holding the light for his daddy as his daddy is working with some wood. I love that picture. I love that thought. Spending some time with Joseph in the carpenter shop, learning to be a carpenter, learning by example, learning by instruction. You remember that Paul himself, he was a Pharisee, meaning that their life was all around studying the law of God. But when he was a missionary, one of the things he did was to provide for himself and for the people with him, because he was trained as a tent maker. There was a physical job for him to take. productive job for him to take. He had been trained in that. So though he was a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee, kind of an academic lifestyle, they learned how to do something practical, making tents, and he put that to very good practical use. The eighth and final decision that I noticed here was the decision of worship. He decided to take his family to Jerusalem. That was a long trip. That was several miles, and therefore many days to travel. He decided to take his family to Jerusalem for the great feasts of worshiping Jehovah. This was a decision of consistency and not of carelessness, showing his character. In Luke 2, 41 to 45 and verse 48, now his parents, Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem, notice, every year at the feast of the Passover. He closed the business door, boarded up the house and did something there, and gathered the family together and went off. When he was 12, Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Jerusalem is up on a mountain, so you always go up to Jerusalem, if you wondered about the word up. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. He's 12 years old. They already have several other children. So they expect when it says time to come, you know, they expect everybody to come running and everybody to check on each other. They left Jerusalem, had gone a day's journey, and nighttime comes and they're tucking everybody in and Jesus is missing. It says, they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. Verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. She's talking about Joseph. That was a father-mother thing. What has happened to him? Has he been stolen away? They find him standing there with the rabbis, asking and answering questions. They're amazed at his understanding at age 12. They find him there. She rebukes him, and he gently corrects her. He says, you should have known I would have been about my father's business. And he was not making a chair. He was doing the work of God. Adam Clark brings this up to us. This was their constant custom because positively enjoined or commanded by the law, Exodus 23:17. That verse says, three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Clark goes on to say, but it does not appear that infants were obliged to be present, and yet all the men children are positively ordered to make their appearance at Jerusalem thrice in the year. Exodus 34:23, which says, thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. So all the men were to come, and if they were young men, that was fine. Infants, they could stay home with mom. But evidently, Mary and Joseph, as a family, took all of the children and went every year. And our Lord, being now 12 years old, accompanies his parents to the feast. Probably this was the very age at which the male children were obliged to appear before the Lord at the three public festivals. Those were the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So we find that he makes this decision. If you're going to raise the Christ child, one of the things you don't want to do is to hesitate in worship. Worship was not just bowing your head at the meals. It was that, but it was far more than that. It was gathering it together for an extensive trip, putting your money together to pay for the hotel rooms or whatever, find people that would put you up, make that great trip, several days, perhaps a week of travel, and get there, spend this time. The all centered around worshiping God. And so they made sure that each of their children were centered in the worship of Jehovah God. If we are to understand what it is that Joseph was and did, he was a man of decision who wisely chose to do the things that God wanted. Somebody said that your character is measured by what it takes to stop you. Joseph had a goal of a nice wife and a charming family there in Nazareth. That seemed to be taken away when Mary was found pregnant. Then he intended to live separately, become divorced. At least he would have his integrity. That was taken away when God said, I want you to be the father who names him Jesus. And so he casts everything that he had aside to do what God wanted him to do, to take up the role of protector and provider. In that, the adventures just continue to go. Off to Egypt. I don't imagine this carpenter from Nazareth had ever been to Egypt before. But there were colonies of Jews that lived in Egypt all through this period of time. So he probably moved in, found a place, maybe even some relatives. But the adventure continued. Finally, God says, I want him out of Egypt, back in Israel. And then where would be the safest place? Here was a man that, based on his character, was a man of decision, and so ought we to be. God chose, worked through the whole genealogy to find this man to be married to this woman to raise his son on this earth. God did all of that choosing Joseph because he was a man of character, a man of decision. Let's bow for prayer. Father, as we think of Joseph, we recognize that he was a simple man, hardworking man, but a righteous man, just man, known for his righteousness. And he made spiritual choices, spiritual decisions. We ask, Father, that you might help us to see that you lifted this man up and immortalized him in the scripture as the one who cast aside a sense of reputation to do what you have called him to do. We who know Christ honor Joseph. Those who do not would mock him. We ask, Father, that you might help us to recognize that we have really one decision in our life at any given time, and that's whether or not we will do what is right, not necessarily what is beneficial or what will aid in our fame and reputation or fortune, but rather what is right. When given that clear choice, Joseph consistently did the right thing, even at the harm of his own reputation. Now I ask that you might help us in admiring this man of decision, that we will be formed into that image to recognize that we are to be people living enough within ourselves that we're not just traveling along life's path, accepting whatever may come, but we approach things and make decisions based upon what is right and what is true and what is according to your word. Help us, Father, to be then men and women of decision based upon your truth, your revelation, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder, before we sing, if you would say, Pastor, I need to develop character. Sometimes I make a choice based on what would be convenient, what would be easy, what would be fun for me. I would like to make the decision based on what is right. I would like to be more like Joseph, the man you chose to raise Jesus Christ as his son. If that's your prayer, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up, say, pray for me. This is what I need to be. Yes, amen. 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 Father, then we ask that you might help us to think of those things which are right and holy and godly and proper. And in thinking of them, to build them into our character. That we are not stopped by little things. And the great things we can take to you. Help us to show our character by consistently choosing, deciding to do the things that are right, no matter what seems to be the outcome. We thank you for each one that raised their hand, recognizing a need for growth in this area of standing firm in character. So we commit our hearts to thee in Jesus' name. Amen.